Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's rada, pleasure, is the biggest objective of a mu'min. This is our destination, that Allah ta'ala becomes pleased with us. Allah ta'ala's pleasure, it is the destination, the greatest destination for a mu'min. All rewards in this world and the hereafter, they are all based on, dependent on Allah ta'ala's rada, Allah's pleasure. All lifelong, a mu'min, he tries to please Allah. And he tries his best, he does ibadat, he worships, so that Allah ta'ala can become pleased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the method to attain his pleasure, the ibadah, the worship action. That action, that worship, us, very seldom we go towards that, or focus on that, or think about it, or ponder over it, or worry about it, or are concerned about it. The specific action, the path, the greatest path to Allah's rada is akhlaq of the human being, his conduct, manners, social conduct, such social conduct that Allah's creation, with Allah's creation, a person has a connection. To attain Allah's pleasure, for Allah's rada, everything is acquired via this path, action of akhlaq. If a person is a zahid, an abid, worshipper, but his akhlaq is not good, and hadith are present with regards to this, then he fails. And if there's a person who doesn't do much ibadah, not much worship, he just fulfills the compulsory actions and the sunnahs, and he doesn't strive further beyond that in terms of voluntary excess worship, but the good thing about him is that his connections, the social conduct with people is very good, and his akhlaq is very high. So in the akhirah, that person will be successful. Rather, he will get a high maqam, high status. And thereafter, Hazrat Tamim Dari, radiyallahu anhu, he stated that the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "An-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam." In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and all the noble companions were present, and the words that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summarized in just a few words, just a sentence, but in these few words, the whole of the deen is present in that sentence, in that phrase. So, in other words, this short phrase, sentence, so much importance that it should be seated totally into the mind of a person so that he understands. And what was that? The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that the deen, our complete way of life, the deen, our religion, our deen, it is about doing goodness, good actions. In other words, that in one sentence, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has summarized the whole deen. That this is such a complete word with regards to goodness, and it is linked to the creation of Allah. That to do good, to act well, and to do good with any person, to do a positive action, a good action, to treat others well, with good intention, to have good intention for others, to treat others well, nicely. All of this comes under this banner. And in reality, it doesn't mean that if you are related to someone, or you have a connection with somebody, or you some give and take or business transactions with people, that you do this with only with those people. No. Rather, this is a very broad subject. With every person we should be good. We should do good with people. And we should have good relations, positive relations with every person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that if a person has the desire to do this, if he has this feeling, if he has this desire that he's always thinking good for others, automatically in his heart he has the desire to do positive with others, treat others positively, nicely, then he's the beloved servant of Allah, that person.
The person who spreads goodness, who does good things with others in terms of good relations with others, even to think good for somebody, even to just think good for somebody. For example, you realize that somebody is ill, or somebody is distressed, somebody's told you whilst you're going somewhere, then in your heart you should have the passion that you should be so pure inside that straight away you should think softly about that person. Nicely, oh, he's ill, maybe not connect to him, you don't even know him. And today what we have is that even people we know, oh, he's sick, oh, good on him, now he's found out, isn't it? The people say, if you hear somebody's had an accident, oh, you see, oh, he deserved it, he was showing off, this and that. Unfortunately, we have our negative, this is the negativities we have against people we know. But deen teaches us, whether you know somebody or not, but if you hear something about someone, somebody's in trouble, in need, then within your heart a feeling should be created, sympathy. Oh, the poor soul, oh, he's only got two children, he's in a bad state. Somebody tells you, and you don't know that person. So when you have that feeling that, how can I help this person? How can I present myself nicely? How can I help that person out? Goodwill, spreading that goodwill, the feeling of goodwill. And you think that, how can I assist this person? And that person then, he becomes full of light. Nur, just to think positively, that how can I treat him nicely? How can I assist that person, help that person? This is called goodwill. And this is the definition of goodwill. Spreading goodwill and treating others with goodwill, thinking with the basis of goodwill. Look at our society. We don't even have the first step towards goodwill. That all night long we can stay in masjids. All night long we can worship. All life long we can do hajj and umrah. But has it ever occurred that with regards to a person who is in need or assistance, have we thought about somebody in a good way? If you hear some news, and straight away our heart goes towards that person, and we try in our heart that, let me try and help this person, assist this person, or give some improvement to this person. And the lowest, you could say, example of this, lowest level that every human being can implement in terms of goodwill gestures. Yes, a goodwill gesture. Let's take the easiest, smallest example. If you hear somebody's had an accident, let's say, and you've heard that, and then the goodwill action there will be what, that in your heart you should feel, is it? So when you go to pray Salah, then you raise your hands for dua, supplication in your mind, that person should come. And this is your internal beauty demonstrating its effect. When a person's batin, soul is beautiful and clean, then they have that emotion when they pray salah, do ibadah, they raise their hands to supplicate. First of all, they have so much sympathy that they think about that person. Oh, that poor soul, he was ill. Oh, he's got troubles. May Allah give him help. Oh, Allah have mercy on this person. Why? For the mu'min, dua, prayer is a great, great tool. Allah has opened a path for us. Okay, we can't get to that person, we can't assist that person, we don't have the approach to help that person physically, but at least minimum what we can do, and only that person will do this, whose batin, whose soul, inner soul is clean, whose ibadat are correct, who the color of the dhikr of Allah has rubbed off onto that person. My Hazrat Ramadan used to say, Babu, you need to allow the color of dhikr to rub. Don't just do dhikr, let the color of dhikr, the effect of dhikr rub off onto you. One is doing dhikr, one is the effect of dhikr affecting you, rubbing off to people. Do dhikr all life long, but the effect doesn't obviously just this be, and I mean this thousand, that thousand. But you need the effect of dhikr to rub off onto you, that your internal soul, yourself should become like this. Your akhlaq, social conduct should be elevated higher. You should develop sympathy for fellow human beings. You don't know that person, you don't understand their need. But if there's sadness, maybe the tears come out of your eyes for that person. This is called the effect of dhikr rubbing off onto the person. The effect of the company of the wali Allah rubbing off onto you. If your heart is not soft, you sit in the company of the awliya Allah, you do dhikr and your heart is not soft, there's no benefit of that. That is just a waste of time, just like a rock, you throw water on it, that nothing will affect that rock, will it? So our heart should become that soil, that even a little bit, a few drops of rain fall onto the soil and the flowers, they root upwards. That's the benefit we should be getting. So goodwill, gestures and actions of goodwill, this is the example of great akhlaq. Like the example I give to you,
Not this that, for example, you won't get the ajr. The greatest reward is that Allah will be happy with you seeing this ibadah that you are implementing, this worship. Your emotions, your passion, that your spiritual levels will increase. There's a hadith, Hazrat Safwan bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. He was a great companion, great status, due to two reasons he had this maqam. One is that he's a companion, mashallah, automatically. And secondly, because he had a relationship with a great sahabi, because when you have a connection, relationship, and he was the son-in-law of Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. SubhanAllah, all the companions, they were the shining stars in the sky. The Prophet ﷺ said, whichever star you follow, you will reach to success, destination, success. Because the companions, radiallahu anhum, why? Because they had the company of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. If they have the company of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, then they must be great personalities. Every sahabi must have had a great maqam. But there were some sahaba, some of the companions that the Prophet ﷺ explained and told us specific, unique statements about them. And he was also one of those companions. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned some words about him, statements about him. So Hazrat Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, also is one of those companions. Great example. He was that companion that he was a devotee, a very great devotee, like a Sufi, a great disciple and companion of the Prophet. So he was given that title, Hakimul Ummah. In other words, he was the Hakim of the Ummah. Hakim comes from Hikmah. So if you understand that if the Prophet ﷺ is saying that he is the Hakim of the Ummah, then which companion, what a great companion will be, his maqam, his status, his virtues, his great examples, events in his life, the ilm, the hikmah he would have had. So Hazrat Safwan, that he was his son-in-law, and he was fortunate, mashallah, to have a relationship with a great companion, then this is Allah Ta'ala's mercy for those people who are grateful to Allah. Today, if he wasn't the son-in-law of Hazrat Abu Darda, he would not be mentioned. But with that connection, he's being mentioned. So this is Allah's fares, that if you are connected and have a relationship with a great person, you have a connection, a relationship, a closeness, then this is a great ni'mah and fadl of Allah, and a person should be grateful for this. So Hazrat Safwan, he was the son-in-law, and obviously he was close. Son-in-law is like a son, and he went to meet his father-in-law and mother-in-law to Syria. So the hadith is coming, and they used to live in Syria. The Syria is the country of the darvish, of the sahih devotees and Sufis of Islam. So he, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and his wife, she also had a great maqam. Imagine, he was a great sahabi companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beloved companion, Hazrat Abu Darda, and he got the title of Hakim ul Ummah. Then his wife, Umm Darda, subhanAllah, what a abida she would have been, and a zahida, and she's famous for her maqam. She's a very great abida and pious woman, just like her husband, the companion, Hazrat Abu Darda. So when he went to see his in-laws, then by chance, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was not at home. And Abu Safwan's mother-in-law, she was there, and the wife of Hazrat Abu Darda. So they were talking, they were at home, and then when he came back, then Hazrat Abu Darda's wife, in other words, his mother-in-law, she asked him, that, do you have any intention for Hajj this year? And during the discussion, and Hazrat Safwan ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, said, yes, I do have intention that this year I do Hajj. Then she said, the mother-in-law said, is it? Okay, that's fine, you're going to Hajj. So for us, please do good dua for us when you go to Hajj. Allahu Akbar. When you go to Hajj, then do, please do dua for us, for goodness for us. And then she said, because they were the sahaba, sahabiya, this was their style, that every word, statement, then they would refer it to a hadith. And they had the company, the blessed company, and they heard the hadith direct from the Prophet ﷺ. So straight away, for as a reminder, to seal that statement, she gave the reverence and the mention of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. They present the hadith. So she mentioned a hadith that the gracious Prophet ﷺ stated, the merciful Prophet ﷺ stated, hadith is coming out, for the objective that the hadith that I have presented to you, that I have recited to you, when a Muslim, when he for his brother, so who? The Prophet ﷺ is saying this hadith, and Hazrat Umm Darda is explaining this hadith, that we heard this from the Prophet ﷺ. He said, ﷺ, that whenever a Muslim, when he for his brother, fellow brother, behind his back, in his absence, when he does dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua. Subhanallah. When a person, in the absence of another person, does dua for that person, Allah accepts. What a great, this is, imagine, if we have a desire that we raise our hands and a dua is accepted. This is guaranteed dua. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that if you, with regards to somebody who is in absentia, who's not present, and not with you, etc. Subhanallah. Look at the great walis of Allah. What was the great practice of Hazrat Sahib? He was, subhanallah, immersed in the sunnah of Rasulullah. He, Hazrat Sahib, also told me this once, one day. In a letter, Hazrat Sahib has written this same hadith, that for dua, supplication, the request, and Hazrat Sahib mentioned this hadith. So Rasulullah said that when a Muslim does a supplication dua for his fellow Muslim in absence, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the great guarantee that if you say, Allah, this poor brother, Allah, he's sick, give him a cure, and he has assistance, Allah, give him assistance, and you that person doesn't know you're doing dua for him, but you're doing dua in his absence, then Allah ta'ala accepts your dua for that person. Subhanallah. And on top of that, when a person does dua, the person who's doing dua, then for that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala appoints an angel. Allah appoints an angel immediately, suddenly from Allah, an angel is sent to that person who's doing the dua, making the supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects an angel, and when he does dua for his brother, for his goodness, for his pain and his suffering, etc., then the angel says, Ya Allah, O Allah, this individual, this person who's doing the dua, making the supplication, the prayer, Allah, give to him. What? Give what to him? That whatever he's asking for his brother, whatever dua he's making for his brother, whatever prayer he's making for his brother, Allah, I am praying, the angel says, oh Allah, I pray for this person who's supplicating, I pray, oh Allah, you also give him this goodness. You also give him this good effect. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua of the angel. Whatever the individual is praying for his fellow brother, for his fellow Muslim, Allah ta'ala also gives to that person who's making the prayer. So what do we see here? This is goodwill. This is the actions. These are the actions of goodwill. The inside, we have the passion, the desire, we have sympathy for others. When we have sympathy for others, when we see somebody is upset, down, distressed, we don't have any other way of assisting, then we do dua for that person, supplicate for the person. Then this action of goodwill, see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reward, that when you do dua for that person, Allah will accept your dua, and the person who's asking dua, Allah ta'ala appoints an angel for that person. That angel, he says, Ameen, and requests Allah ta'ala to give that person the same thing. Allah, I do Ameen on his dua. Allah ta'ala, why will he not then accept the dua? And that we see here, for example, whatever it is that he is asking for his brother, my Mawla, he is sick, he's got an issue, resolve it, Allah, I do dua, then the angel does dua, that Allah also give him this good effect as well, the person who is making the dua, supplication. So this is goodwill. What's the reason? What's the reason? How did this great reward come on the dua? For this reason, that he had the passion for goodwill. That's it. And what was the veil between him and the acceptance that he had the, and he dropped the veil, is that he had the passion, the desire to do prayer for his brother, fellow brother, and via the action of dua, prayer. So this is an action of goodwill of a human being to another human, about which the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that the deen of Islam, it is to carry out actions of goodwill, good gestures. So what we learn from here is that first we need to look inside ourselves, that how good are we towards other people? How good do we think about, how much good do we think about others? And how much do we positively think about others? We look negatively, think negatively, speak negatively, we're happy with people's pain, and we laugh after hearing about people's issues and problems. Oh, may it happen more, may it happen more, let him feel it, he deserves it. Tell me, at that time, how many angels must be cursing that person? But in comparison to that, when you do dua for that person, then how much of Allah's mercy comes to that person? All the difficulties and issues, and the person we're doing dua for that person, Allah says that you yourself will never get this. Subhanallah, you'll be free from illnesses and problems because you're making dua for your fellow brother, Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that our batin and our soul should be so clean and pure, that our dhikr, due to our dhikr and due to the company of our shaykh, may the full effect rub off onto us, that we think good and do goodwill to all other fellow Muslimin. And remember another point, remember, brothers, that always you hear this, this person's sick, this person's got a problem, this person's had an accident, this person's children are disobedient, there's a fighting and quarreling, disputes. We hear these things all the time. So a great opportunity, why do we leave it that when you sit for namaz, for salah, you're raising hands for yourself and say, Allah, my Mawla, my Lord, I heard about this person in his home, Allah, put peace into their home. I heard that his daughter's ill, Allah give shifa to his daughter, Allah, his son's had an accident, Allah give cure to that person. That just a small point like that, alhamdulillah, that our ibadah will be accepted, our dua will be accepted, Allah will become pleased with us, and an angel will be appointed to us who will do dua for us, and this will become the means to success in our akhirah. And the thing that we're asking for, supplicating for to Allah, Allah Ta'ala will protect us from the negatives. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to do this. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
اپنے مقاصد کے لیے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا میرے مولا ان کی زندگی کے ہر مقصد کو پورا فرما یا اللہ ان کی حاجات کو پورا فرما یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما یا اللہ ان کے خاندان معاملات کو بہتر فرما یا اللہ خاص طور پر جہاں ذات نے پاکستان سے اپنی بیماریوں کے لیے دعا کی ہے کہ ان کی بیماری کو دور فرما یا اللہ اس ملک میں جو بیماریوں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ یہ ناگہانی بیماری جو ہمارے سے مسترد ہوئے ہم پر میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے اللہ ہمیں اس سے نجات عطا فرما یا اللہ اس بیماری سے ہمیں محفوظ فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ اپنی پناہ نصیب فرما کریم یا اللہ اپنی پناہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں اپنی پناہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ اپنے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے سے میرے مولا ہمارے ساری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما آج کی بابرکت رات میں اللہ جو جو بھی دعائیں جن بزرگوں نے مانگی میرے مولا، یا اللہ جو صحابہ کرام نے مانگی، نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے دعائیں مانگی میرے مولا، ان دعاؤں میں ہمیں بھی شامل فرما۔ وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلق ہی نور عرش ہی زینت فرش ہی وعلیہ صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین۔ سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون، وسلام علی المرسلین، والحمد للہ رب العالمین۔